Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here on the show. This is the show where we aim to help you build financial intelligence, make you a smarter real estate investor. My goal with the show is that even if you're an advanced real estate investor, you can pull something from this interview and the discussions that we have here on the show, or a beginner, you'll be able to carve and chart your own path based on some of the things you learn here today. I'm excited to have a longtime client of ours at Morris Invest. Actually got client of the month a number of months ago, and we were able to feature Michael's family on our website and everything. And Michael Ellis is a Maryland native, like my father, Maryland Blue Steam Crabs. He's a longtime follower of Morris Invest, and he purchased two houses now, one in Texas and the other in Tennessee, through Morris Invest last year. He also has a portfolio of 8 homes already, mainly in the Washington, D.C. area. Michael right now is seeking to reach his freedom number of 10 homes very soon. This is his second appearance on the show. And I love to do these follow-up episodes because it gets me a chance to sort of check in, see how, have you had bumps in the road along the way? What sort of things did you not expect as you're growing your portfolio? So happy holidays, Michael. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. And this has been quite a crazy year. So just, at a high level, 30,000 foot level, how's the family been? How have you guys been through this wild year trying to keep things on track with your investing?
It's been good. It's been good. The family's been safe. Luckily, we have no COVID cases with the kids or myself. Real estate portfolio has been really good. We've had no major issues. Luckily, we have a number of, in my house, we have a number of folks who are under the housing voucher program. So that's been relatively steady. And my other, economy tenants have done pretty well. So they've had some struggles there, but no job losses. So it's been pretty decent, overall.
Let's talk about that voucher program a little bit for our audience that might not understand how that works. Tell us what you had to deal with getting those vouchers put in place, or even notifying your tenants that they exist. Has that been some of the, I know that in some states, like, tenants don't even know some of these programs exist out there. And it's really kind of incumbent upon landlords to maybe do an education on it.
It really is. These housing assistance programs, at least in the state of Maryland, where most of our properties are, you have a client, you have a tenant, and they may not financially meet the rent needed required for that sort of property, the market rent in that area. And then you work with them and you work with the local county officials. There's a packet of paperwork, and then they turn in their income and things like that. And it's about, honestly, from beginning to end, it's about a 2.5 month process. But if you have a vacant property and you see a good tenant you want, but they just don't make it, but they're a good person. And essentially, this sort of goes back to what you and I have always talked about, is that, we're here, we're in this game to make money, but we're also providing service to homes, giving people families homes, right? So that's what you kind of want to do. So right. With that, we sort of work with them. It took about, 2 months to get them. They fill out the paperwork, and it goes through an inspection process to make sure the home has heating, windows, things that work. And then they have a voucher process. For instance, honestly, I have a tenant whose mortgage is about, their rent is about, the market rent is about $1,100. But their income situation only allows them to really pay about $400 of it. So the state covers the rest of it. The state covers the other $700 of it. And during COVID, they had some trouble making that couple hundred dollars rent. So I worked with them. And also at the end, the state actually came back to me and said, hey, did your tenant have any problems? We will, match whatever, and we will fill in the gap and make you whole on what they missed due to COVID-related illness or something like that. So it's been a win. It's been a win for them.
That's great. And those are some of the homes you have in D.C., is that right?
Yes, Maryland and D.C.
Maryland, D.C. Interesting. So take our audience back a little bit. If someone didn't get a chance to listen to your first episode, we had you on the show. I think at that time you had only, you still had the properties in D.C., but you had one property through our team at Morris Invest. And we had, got to know you then, but take us back, how did you get started with real estate investing, and how did you figure out where you need to be, what your goal number was of 10 properties, what all went into that number and that path for you?
Just sort of sitting down with my wife and a financial advisor, sort of figuring out how much money do we want to have for retirement, and what's comfortable keeping us in a lifestyle that we're used to. We're not, just middle class folks, so we don't need anything extravagant, nor expect anything extravagant. It's just figuring out that number and realizing that you know, my retirement from my job is alone is not enough to keep us in our lifestyle that we're used to. Also pay for the children. You've got aging parents. So that's when I realized I needed to work on real estate. This is, we're talking about several years ago, work on real estate. I needed another source of stable income. And I tried everything. I tried like the Amway products, Quickstar, all those sorts of things. And I really didn't like it. It wasn't me. I'm not a salesman. Also, I really didn't enjoy the fact of having to meet people and try to make the sale with them and follow up and Sunday calls with them, Sunday chain calls. Like, how many people did you meet this weekend and try to get in the business? That would take me a while from my family. So I realized that, you know, doing real estate, it's passive income. If you do it right and take care of your properties, it's month, it's something that comes in every month, and you can increase the rent and things like that. So it's been great because, you know, I just realized that it's a great way to supplement my income without having to do a lot of other things with it. And I can focus on my family, spend time with the kids, go bowling, you know, watch football with my friends. I have time for that because I'm not chasing sales or something like that. So the thing that sort of started me in this, unfortunately, is when my, you know, several years ago, my parents passed away, they left me quite a bit of money in insurance. And I'm very blessed for that. And I thought about, like, what do? Do I put this in, a bank account, mutual funds and things like that? So I started reading, like, real estate is really the way to go. So I used the insurance money to honestly purchase my first two rental properties and build them up over a time. So I'm up to 8 really off that initial investment of the insurance money, including the two that I bought through Morris Invest. So it's the money that keeps growing in our equity and just keep rolling.
So for someone watching right now that maybe has some money, you know, maybe $30,000, $40,000, would you encourage them to, you know, go out and find some C-class property that they're going to have to do a full renovation on? Or would you say, you know, look at interest rates right now, near zero, basically free money. And hey, I guess I'm asking you kind of a loaded question. I'm kind of almost giving you the answer, but give me your honest assessment. Would you encourage them to be able to sort of break up that money as much as possible over multiple properties, maybe taking on some different financing options, different things like that, to kind of get that snowball moving more quickly?
That's what I would do. And you're not leading the witness room. Okay. So, no, I've done it both ways, right? Before interest rates were really low, because I refinanced like most of my properties this year, but let's go back last year when interest rates were relatively high. I bought a property in Maryland and it was a fixer upper. And I budgeted like $30,000 to fix it up. At the end of the day, the thing cost me like $50,000. I needed another roof. It was the pipes were bad. The pipes were rusted. The water heater was dead, all these sorts of things, not to mention carpet and all these sort of things I had to get ready to get a tenant in. So it cost me like $20,000 more. And I had to take out another loan that I didn't expect to finish the property because I got to get somebody in it. So it was a really bad experience. I really can't talk enough about the benefits of turnkey investing, especially like with your company or someone you trust, because they help you find the property. You don't have to do the market research. They do the neighborhood. They put you in contact with the finance people. You know, this is new construction, so you don't have to worry about the pipes. Because I had to spend almost like $4,000 on that other place and getting plumbing issues done, like new tubs and other things like that. And none of these things in this house. This house was built in 1953. And none of these things met code. So I have an inspector come in and do things, and he would say, you can't do that. So I had to redo the electrical system, and that was almost like $6,000 there. To redo the electric system, because we're talking things from 1953. So, like I said, I can't tell you the benefit enough of going with turnkey investing, because it's new construction. You've got a property manager. You've got someone to help you with, and it glides through it. And money's cheap, because I bought a property last year. I bought a property from, you guys last year, bought one this year, and it's just been great. And interest rates are really cheap. For instance, like the property that I got with you guys from Tennessee, our interest rate is 3.3%.
Wow.
So it's really, really cheap. I mean, you know, and this is, and you know, as you guys know, I have like, you know, 7 or 8 rental properties at the time, and I'm still getting these properties cheaply. So, and some of my other properties, when I went through that weren't turnkey, I'm paying like 3.7, 3.5, which isn't bad. But with Morris, I got the best rate I ever could.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Talk about that financing process a little bit more, because I think for some of our, you know, people that are going to work with Morris Invest and don't know that we work with a lot of different lenders. Of course, we have non-recourse financing, built in to some of our properties as well, which is, of course, based on the asset itself, which is great for a lot of our international investors, or if somebody wants to buy 10 properties at one time in a portfolio, they can exceed that sort of, you know, those the federal guidelines of not being able to hit that 10 cap, right? But then traditional financing, where you have these interest rates, I mean, I look at these numbers every morning, and they're like 2.79, 2.8. Every day, they're right around 3%. Unbelievable. It really is free money if you consider inflation. The government interest rates, Federal Reserve setting those benchmark rates, you can get free money right now to invest, take $35,000, $40,000 as a down payment on a property, and have that bank with almost 0% interest carrying the note for the next 30 years while it's cash flowing, is a phenomenal opportunity. So talk to me about that financing process. What were we able to do? Or did we have to shop around with a bunch of different lenders to get you that rate? Or how did that work?
No, I'll speak to both, right? I'll speak to, because the property in Texas I bought from you guys probably a year and a half ago now, I did through the non-recourse. Because,
oh, great.
To be honest with you, yeah, I had... my credit rating wasn't where it needed to be because I had a lot of credit card debt because I had to take out a loan and other things for that house that I talked about that I had to put $50,000 in. I budgeted for 30, I had to pay for 50, right? So that was really lowering, you know, really lowering my credit rating. So I really couldn't get a house, but I knew I really wanted a property. So I did a non-recourse loan, was essentially, like you said, you're putting the asset against the house and it's, you put your money, I had the money, but I didn't have the credit rating at the time. So you guys worked with me, helped me. And I got the property in Texas because I had the cash. So I got that, added it to the property. So now we fast forward to this year, paid off some debt. Things are a lot better. Property flow is generally positive. And I look for you guys. You guys called me up. And it's so great. Like, there was a time, and this is so cool because you called me up about two properties. It was a particular property in Kentucky, I think it was. It was another one in Texas you called me about, right? And I said, hey, that's a little rich in my blood right now. I can't do it. Because I was in the process of selling one property and another, and I was like, I don't need to make any moves. My credit score is not where it needs to be. And they're like, okay, Mike, just come back and talk to us. So I largely forgot about it. And then you guys called and told me about the property in Tennessee and said, hey, Mike, we've got something that's really in your budget. Okay, how's your credit score? Let's work with you. Do we need to do a long recourse? Luckily, my credit score had stabilized. It was good. So I went with you guys through the traditional method. And that's where I got to 3.2, 3.3. And basically, you know, talk to your folks there, L in Chicago and those folks. And you basically work with me, put me on with a finance person in Tennessee. Like, I forgot the name of the bank in Tennessee that worked with me. This person already knew, set everything up, and it was just a normal application. And it was probably a 4 or 5 week process if we were done. I didn't have to go out and shop for a bunch of rates, talk to a bunch of people. And it was just a real smooth process. And for instance, there was a problem I was having because I have so many other properties. There was some sort of finance issues there. And your guy stepped in and said, hey, look, honestly, they were honestly like, hey, they talked to the finance people and say, hey, you know, sort of vouch for me, help me get through the process. But I asked, I said, hey, look, I really want this property. Say I don't get it through Bank A. They said, don't worry, Mike. We've got Bank B and C and D that will work with you, but we will get this deal done.
I am really excited to share Wealthfront with everyone who's listening because it's an amazing platform to invest your money. Look, no one is great at something the first time they try it, right? If you're unfamiliar with investing, it can be a little scary and it can be intimidating. I remember when I first started doing this in college, I didn't know what I was doing. Wealthfront does the work for you so you can invest like an expert right from the beginning. So why not invest in your future self? You know, as you set your New Year's resolutions this year, make sure you're thinking about your long-term financial health. And Wealthfront helps you take the steps today for a better tomorrow. You know, decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders actually beat the market. So the odds are not in your favor that you're going to do that alone, right? Unless you've got like an arsenal of big televisions in front of you and computer monitors and you're a day trader. Look, it's not going to happen. So why don't you team up with Wealthfront instead? So here's what they do. They will create an automated investment portfolio of diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you. To open your account, all you need is 3 minutes and $500 to get started. There are no manual trades, no watching the stock market, no more managing all the details. Wealthfront's technology does it for you based on the inputs that you control. It's trusted with over $20 billion of assets. And again, you can get your first $5,000 managed for free. just by opening an investment account today. So here's how you do it. Go to wealthfront.com/investing to get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. That's Wealthfront, WEALTHFRONT.com/investing to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/investing to get started today. You know, my wife said the other day, she's like, you never take no for an answer, do you? It's like, no, I don't. And so I believe like if there's a will, there's a way, and there's a great property, new construction, renovated totally with a cash flowing tenant in there. Non-recourse might be the way to go because the bank is stepping in and saying, hey, we love that asset and we don't care about Mike, the person. Like, you know, if Mike disappears to Venezuela, we're backing this asset because it's a great property in a great demographic area. Job growth is increasing. Crime is low. Vacancy rate is low. Cash flow is good. Fine. You know, Mike might disappear. And that's the benefit of like non-recourse financing, especially if your credit score is a little shaky or if you're an international investor, you don't have that American entity structure set up. So that non-recourse is a way to go. And I wish more banks did it, frankly. but we've developed these long-term relationships with certain banks and they really look at the town, don't they? I mean, they're focused in on those demographics. You can't just go out and get non-recourse financing anywhere in America. They're really zeroing in on some specific things with those territories that you've invested. Tell us a little bit about the areas that you've invested.
Outside the Washington, D.C. area, for instance, like I didn't know anything. Let's go back to the property I bought with you guys in Lubbock, Texas. I didn't know anything about Lubbock, Texas, because I'm here in you know, Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. So Lubbock, Texas, all I knew was Texas Tech University. And, you know, you guys sent me a portfolio, showed me the demographics in the town. You know, it was a professional town, very, you know, good money flow. And then I was like, okay, Lubbock, Texas, here it is. And I never had a problem with the tenant, no issues. And here's what I really got to say about how you guys really vet the management companies, right? Because one of my tenants had some issues because of COVID, really. Like, we're all dealing with that, okay? So she was a little behind in the rent, but she was catching up, right? So the company itself, the management company itself, went and found a charity that gave her some money, okay? And then so she could make up on her rent.
Wow.
So I didn't have to go find it. And this is a true story. I didn't have to find it. It was Catholic Charities and such. Texas, I believe, or Lubbock, or whatever you want to call it. They worked with the tenant, filled out the paperwork with her so she could and ask for the difference in debt and also got extra money to pay me in advance for the next month, which is December. And this, when I say recent, this is recent. Like, I've already received December rent already. December, wow. They've already given me December rent already for what happened in November and such. So I didn't have to go find this person or anything like that.
That's amazing. And I mean, that's a testament to the property management team. You know, when we go into a market, we're spending a long time vetting the property management teams because we want to make sure they've been in business for 5 years or longer, minimum 5 years. We want to understand how do they screen tenants? How do they do their background checks? How do they communicate is very important to me. Because I've worked over the years, you know, you learn in this business, like I don't want to work with property management teams that don't communicate. So how do they communicate? Do they text, you know, text, email, phone? When do they get back to you quickly? Within 24 hours? What's their deal? You know, what's their structure? And then also, how do they handle situations like this? Because I want to be, I never want to work with a company. This is a lesson that Robert Kiyosaki gave me years ago, which is you don't want to work with a company that hasn't been through tough times and then came out the other side of it stronger. And because then they don't have their war wounds. They don't know what ups and downs and market cycles look like and different things. And so that's a testament to these property management teams. Applause for them. You know, they've done a great job and that is remarkable. So they went out to a charity, found the money, and made a connection for that tenant. I'm sure that tenant is thrilled too, right?
Yeah, but here's the other thing about it, right? And I was like, and I asked, I was like, okay, how bad is this? Because I'm thinking like, okay, how long am I going to lose rent? Because, you know, this person's struggling. How long am I going to lose rent? You know, where do I need to shift resources? Things like that. You know, thinking is, you know, real estate investors, we do, right? And she said, look, you're going to be handled, okay? And she said, here's the thing about it. That the Morris, she said, you Morris guys, your tenants generally pay. I've got certain tenants from other people that I manage have not been, this is from the property manager, that haven't been paid since March. Oof. Your tenants are paying. At least trying to make a choice to pay. He said some of my other tenants who are non, if you will, non-mortgage guys aren't getting any, haven't got a check since March.
Ouch. Ouch. I hate to hear that. And it's a, well, it's a testament also to the fact that our, you know, our government has really screwed up here and not been able to step up. And I look at these charts that I look at constantly where other countries have been able to step in and provide meaningful stimulus for people, rental assistance, landlord assistance. And a lot of this has now fallen to the states in some areas and certain quarters, and charities have had to step in. But Japan and Canada and other places have been able to provide that kind of assistance. And boy, we really need to step up in the United States. That's my sidebar commentary on that. I look at Congress passing a $700 billion defense budget like that. They all come together and get that done. But when it comes to stimulus for people who are suffering right now, boy, sidebar. So where do you want to take things from now, Michael? I mean, you've got the 8 properties. You want to hit 10. How do you continue to scale? And, you know, I want to get into some tax stuff here before we wrap things up, but where do you go next? Like, what does your roadmap look like? Did this COVID year set you back at all on that path, or are you still on track to hit your goals?
I'm still on track, believe it or not. Blessed enough, I am on track, because between the housing voucher folks and, you know, my other out-of-state properties with Morris, and we talked about how good they've been, I'm still really on track, right? If I continue to hold a job and everything, I'm still really on track to get a 9th property early 2021, right? Because I want to do 10. So I want to do one a year, or maybe I can do 2 a year, but next year I definitely want to do one early in the year. So I'm on track because of that, but just because of the strong portfolio I built. So, you know, you talk about diversification. I've got certain properties are in, you know, some B class, and I've got a bunch of C classes, right? But it's a good mix of properties. And if you can have that, it helps. So that's what I say to the, you know, to the audience out there. Make sure you have a good mixture of properties.
Yeah.
That's
great advice. And certainly that diversification in your portfolio is fantastic. Because, I mean, let's be honest, with COVID, let's say you were an investor in, hey, Las Vegas, right? Or Orlando, or places that traditionally seem like a really popular area, right? But tourist area, to be sure. And you think this is pretty stable. And that's, you've got 2 investments in Vegas, 2 in Orlando, and 3 in Lubbock, Texas, which is a very stable, kind of boring market, right? But it's Texas tech and businesses are growing there. It's not a tourist area. And then suddenly COVID hits, pandemic hits, Vegas shuts down, 32,000 people laid off at Disney World. And then suddenly that looks a lot different in those particular areas, but your Lubbock properties are still solid and strong. Same thing is true, you know, Tennessee scattered around. So you want to make sure you have a diversification, and that very, very important throughout time, because these markets can shift and change, and you don't want to have all of your eggs in one basket. Let's talk about the taxes. Here we are at the end of the year. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Oh, no. Going sort of back to diversification, last point. Okay, so most of my properties up here in the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area, so it's that government bubble, right? It's right. You're sort of protected by that government bubble. And, you know, in Texas, I've got Texas Tech. Now, the other property in Tennessee, like, this is stuff I didn't know until I talked to you guys. Like, my property in Tennessee, it's a place called Dyersburg, Tennessee. There's a little place called there's a little company called Breyer's Ice Cream there, okay?
Right.
Also, Dyersburg Factory. Look, I know life may be bad, but nobody's stopping eating ice cream. Right? So, these folks are going to work, right? In Dyersburg, that plan is still going to go on because no one's going to stop eating ice cream.
That's no matter what,
especially times. So you find insulations, right? So I'm here, I'm lucky, I know DC because you got the government. That's an insulation. But working with you guys, I went outside of the market because literally I'm priced out of DC now, right? So I go to Lubbock. You guys give me Texas Tech cover. I got, ice cream manufacturing. So that's the thing I appreciate about your company. You just don't, here's a property and such. You give a portfolio behind it and the major business is there. So I feel covered.
Well, I appreciate that. And our field team is fantastic because, we're analyzing this years before it becomes popular. So a few months ago, internally, we were circulating a CNBC article that came out like in our office because we were like, aha, look at this. And CNBC had their top 10 recession-proof markets. And a bunch of them we were investing in. But we were there 3 years before anyone was talking about them because the demographic data was lining up. All of these companies were flying in Texas, moving their companies to Texas, Fortune 500 companies. And a lot of people think like West Texas, they think oil. Not necessarily the case when you have all these healthcare companies and the university systems, the hospital systems. So oil is a part of it. But the people that work in, you know, our tenants and the properties that we have there are, you know, work at the university, work at the hospitals. So that is separate from that oil industry. And there's diversification, not just in the territory, but in the job market itself. So you're not just in a one trick pony town where if the one Walmart in the town leaves and everyone loses their job, and we don't want that either, right?
Very exactly.
Hey guys, do you want to get 10 free meals, delicious meals sent right to your door for free? Oh, I'm going to tell you how you're going to get 10 free meals for free in just a second. But I want to tell you about HelloFresh. You get pre-measured fresh ingredients, mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your front door. And guess what? You're going to save money at the grocery store. You can save about 40% off your grocery bills by using HelloFresh. It makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. So they'll cut out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips. And by the way, who wants to go to the grocery store during a pandemic anyway? You can enjoy cooking, get dinner on the table within 30 minutes or less. They offer 23 different recipes each week, featuring a range of flavors, you know, different cuisines and ingredients, so you'll never get bored. So you want low carb? That's great. Carb smart, vegetarian, low calorie, pescatarian. You can do whatever you want. So like my sister is vegetarian. She's able to get the vegetarian meals for her family. You know, my mom and dad, there's two. You can get two orders or four for a larger family. It's all pre-portioned, delivered right to your door. So here's how you get 10 free meals right now, including free shipping. So all you need to do is go to HelloFresh.com/investing10. And when you're setting up your first order with HelloFresh, you will get 10 free additional meals just for using our code. It's investing10. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/investing10. We will have that link in the show notes as well. So please check out HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Thanks, guys. So let's talk about taxes, because we're here at the end of the year. If you're listening to this episode at the end of 2020, going into 2021 here at the holiday season, what are you looking at right now? Have you been doing your tax planning? How has real estate investing altered your tax landscape for your income as you move into preparing all of that for April?
My wife's in finance, so it helps out a little bit. But, you know, sort of working. Like, all I can say is that your tax planning for December, okay, if you're thinking about anything with your taxes in December, it's too late. You should have started in January, right? So everything you need to do as far as your properties, keep every receipt, okay? Because you'll be surprised. Like, as a real estate owner, like, I didn't know certain receipts I threw away. I won't need it. Keep every receipt you have. Scan it in. Find a software package that can scan this stuff in and keep track of it for you. And it's really helpful because I'm not an accountant at all. So, but you never know the magic that an accountant can do with these numbers and things like that. So just sort of keeping tight books throughout the year. Like I can show you right here, something kind of in my office here. I really have a file card system literally for my properties where I just drop in whatever receipts. And then I count them at the end of the month, right? So it's that simple. So no really complicated program or anything like that. You know, I scan them and I have them there. So tax benefits, I'm sure we got some excellent tax benefits last year. And I'm sure by adding another couple of properties this year, we'll continue to do it. But there's so many write-offs you can get. Like, yeah. I'm going to, like after we get off the phone, I got air filters I got to deliver to my tenants, right? I can write the gas off, and I can write, of course, ordering these air filters, right? Little things like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so powerful. And if you're listening to this episode, and you haven't had a chance to listen to our most recent year-end episode. It's about to be published, so it might not even be out yet, but go check it out. By the time you're watching this with Michael, you'll see it. It's an interview with Tom Wheelwright, our great tax accountant. We did a year-end tax planning episode with him. It was for our Financial Freedom Academy members first, where we did a live Q&A, but we're publishing it. So you can take advantage of it. But there's so many year-end things you can take advantage of as well. But with real estate investing, all of the write-offs are just monumental. It really is one of the best ways to mitigate your taxes for sure. And I should mention here at the end of the year, CARES Act. Like, the CARES Act is set to run out December 31st. So there are some great tax benefits, particularly like, you know, taking out money out of your 401k or retirement plan right now without penalties, being able to do all of those things to invest in real estate. You have to do it though before December 31st. So make sure you talk to your financial advisor or your tax accountant about some of these amazing year-end opportunities that exist for you. So, just my little tax addendum. I don't want you to come January 1st and hear this and wonder why you didn't know about it. So, well, good for you, Michael. I'm super thrilled to hear all of your progress. I'm glad this year hasn't derailed you too much. And we all have the difficulty. We've definitely had tenants in some of our New Jersey properties that have had difficulties and getting caught up on rent and so forth. So it's been difficult all around. Let's hope our federal government can step in and do some things correctly as it relates to rental and landlord assistance, because we desperately need it. And it's not a political statement at all, but we absolutely need it. And people right now, overall average, the numbers came out this morning, $5,000 in debt, $5,000 behind on their rental payments, about $1.3 million. Yeah, a lot of people are really suffering out there. So we could definitely use some help. So Michael, what's next for you, my friend, before I let you go?
Okay. What's next for me is, it's tax season, to try to get my books together and get them tight. And then looking to work with your company, and this is not a paid advertisement or anything like this. Look, like I said, I'm priced out of the DC market, right? I'm really priced out of the DC market for where I want to go. So it's to working with your company, working with you folks to figure out what's the next big market or where I can afford or put something else, because I want to get to 10. I'm eight. I want to do a ninth, and I want to do early in the year so I can get the tax benefits of it. Plus, not as many people are active in the in the winter months. So I want to do it before people start making a lot of moves and just, work with the company to get number nine. Honestly. Well,
thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you're right. This is not a paid advertisement. We invited Michael to come back on and to update us on his progress. He had just gotten his second property with us, and hey, I could have come on here and been blindsided. Michael said, hey, I've had a terrible experience. I said, okay, I need to go talk to our team and find out what happened. But no, thank you so much. And I look forward to helping you get your ninth property. And yeah, our new construction properties in Texas and other spots are really fantastic. So thank you so much for that, Michael. It's been great to work with you and the family, and really continued success. And let us know anytime you need any help. We're there for you, my friend.
Well, I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And it's good to see you again. And happy holidays to your family.
Yeah, happy holidays to you as well. And hope you have a safe new year as well. Be safe to you and your family. Give my love to them, okay?
I will, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael. And thanks to all of you for subscribing and downloading and checking this out. We have a whole back catalog of great videos here. Go back and check out Michael's earlier interview from last year. See how's progress. It's great to, I really love seeing that, because it gives you a real frame of reference for someone who's put their mind to a goal. And that's what I love about Michael and his wife. They've really put their mind to hitting a goal. And you hear, I asked him, where is he going? I know that by this time in 2021, I should be able to acquire number nine. I should be able to get. So you got to put pen to paper and draw up a goal. It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be a huge file system. Just put some pens to paper and come up with a plan and reach your financial freedom number. You can download our free financial freedom number cheat sheet. Just go onto our website, morrisinvest.com/freedom. Totally free. It'll help you kind of figure out your overall expenses and how to take action. So until next time, everyone, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.